from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
That's right. In the loop right here, as my man Sean said, John P. Lopez, Figgy Fig, and I am Reginald Atatula. I'm the new man aboard. And you know what? Thank you to the Houston Astros for giving me a little bit of welcome because they gave us a little bit of a walk-off celebration last night.
Okay. Guiner hits one high.
All right, so very awesome, as we know.
Awesome.
And we're going to get into this in depth. The Astros are just flat out killers. I mean, just absolute killers at this point. You know, the side note is Bummer has this thing with the Hey Bartender. Some of them don't hit.
Oh, wow.
Some of them hit.
That's where you wanted to start the show
Some of them don't hit.
You were like, look, man, walk-off home run, fantastic victory.
Look, I like them,
John
Sean.
Came in and chose violence.
Exactly. No. I like them. But that one, in that moment, I was like, did that hit? I don't know. But the bigger story is the Astros, man. I mean, we go from they're done. I don't know who said it, but somebody did. You know, they're done.
Is he in the room with us?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Sean said it or not, but right. Somebody said they're done. To it's like the division isn't even a thought anymore, man. Like they're five clear. The Mariners are god awful.
At least on one side of the ball, I guess, is that's
offensively.
A weird way of saying
that's fine.
Offensively, yes, it's a problem.
I mean,
for them.
They were 10 games up. The Mariners were 63 days ago. 2 months. They were 10 games up on the Astros. Now they're 5 games back. So there's that. And boy, just the cast of characters that comes through and makes the big plays, comes up with the big hit. Hits for the Astros, it's just uncanny, man.
Yeah, man, and again, we have to appreciate Space City Home Network for the audio of the Yainer Diaz walk-off. His first walk-off home run of his career. I think only his second walk-off hit of his career. And you could see that he enjoyed the hell out of it. It was mentioned, you know, he hits the ball. It's no doubter right off the bat.
Yeah.
And he points his bat to the dugout at Yordan.
Yeah.
Because Yordan told him, like, hey, timing. Like, just worry about the timing on the pitch. And you could see that that mattered to Yainer in making sure to get that play. But then also just feeling comfortable enough to go and do that. And I was super excited, and we'll talk more about this in particular later, but I was super excited just to be able to watch this team show up when necessary, right? It was their only time leading in the game was right that moment when they walked it off. And so seeing them hit the ball, you know, score runs when needed, you know, manufacture runs was awesome. But also, I really enjoyed watching just the aggressive sends in this game. They've been aggressive on the base paths as well, and I like that mentality from a baseball team in general, but from this baseball team in particular.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at, I mean, you have a lot of young guys. We talk about DiCenzo and Whitcomb and a lot of folks that are filtering in away from, like, some of the standards. Bregman doesn't play in this game. Obviously, Kyle Tucker's still out. Like, some of the guys that you anticipate being the heavy hitters in this lineup, and you're still managing to get runs on the board, in part because you're being aggressive.
And this is where I feel like as much as we didn't really know much about Joe Espada early on in the season, and then we kind of soured on him because it just seemed like he was sort of lost here and there when they were struggling, but he held the faith. You got to give it to, like, the front office and Joe Espada here, specifically with what you're talking about, how he's managing the games, but on a larger scale, to be able to keep on keeping on. Like the Astros have had three general managers since they started this run, four if you count Jeff Bagwell, who made two awful moves, as we know. And Joe Espada is the third manager. Dude, that's not easy. That's not easy. You're inheriting a championship-caliber team for the second time. Like another manager has inherited it and won a World Series in Dusty Baker. And you come in, and inherently there's going to be some biases against you, or some skepticism maybe, is a better way to put it. And to be able to put your stamp on it, and that game last night was a Joe Espada kind of putting his stamp on it, being aggressive, don't worry about being more adept at using, or more willing to use, pinch hitters, that kind of thing. That's where you got to give him credit.
And you know what, Fig, we're going to need that third Espada cut here, because you mentioned, like, him putting a stamp on it and him being criticized. There were still moments for potential criticisms within this. You say Kikuchi goes 99 pitches, 5 2/3.
Kikuchi!
That's right. We all do around these parts. And he had the opportunity to go 6 when Connor Wong comes to the plate. And Connor Wong had been struck out and grounded into a double play at that point. But Espada decides to go into the bullpen and get Tanner Scott to finish out the 6th. And so, Espada, why did you decide against Kikuchi in that moment?
No. You know, I pinpoint that spot. Wong has had some success against Kikuchi. And, you know, Scott comes in and he puts fires away. And, you know, he executed that pitch. That pitch was kind of up and out of the plate. And Kikuchi, Yoshida put a good swing on it. And you tip your hat to him.
And I didn't really have that big a problem with that.
Okay.
Simply because, you know, two things were at play here. That's what Espada does. You know, he's very much, you know, kind of a hands on the dials kind of manager, and it was the third time through the lineup. You know, it was the third time that he's faced him, you know, in that at bat, and we all know that those numbers go way up. So I really didn't have a problem. It was, and I'm not trying to be Mr. Baseball here, but it was kind of a tip your hat, a hat tap hat kind of guy to him in that situation. But I didn't have that big a problem.
Sure, and I mean, like, that is something that we don't necessarily give enough credit for in sports. Is that they're on the other side playing too, and sometimes it is not simply a failure on your part. Sometimes the other guy goes and makes a play. But yeah, I know that ended up looking up interesting, and I went and looked up Kikuchi and Wong's their history.
Yeah.
Wong is 3-for-6 career, or at least he was before. Before last night, and so if you want to go with that, he does have a case there. Dude is batting .500 in his matchups with Kikuchi. So some other things that I found really impressive. Yordan was hitting the mess out of that baseball.
He was putting some velocity on it.
When I say that, like, he wasn't hitting it high. The launch angle was still low, but his first three hits, as I think he got on base 4 times in the course of this game, 113 miles per hour, 107 miles per hour, 112 miles per hour. Like, they were on the ground, but they got through the gap quick. And that makes me feel good about Yordan, especially at that building, that if that launch angle just shifts up a little bit, then those balls will be...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Gone. And it will. 113, 107, and 112. If you don't know, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah, it's hot.
that's pretty
hot off the bat.
That's pretty hot. But the other part of it is, you know, no Bregman. Some of these things that are going to be coming back. Verlander, by the way, tomorrow we're going to be out at the Twin Peaks on Kirkwood off I-10.
Oh yeah, I get to meet the people,
and you get to meet the people, and they get to meet you. And oh, by the way, Verlander is going to be pitching while we're out there, so you'll be able to see that as well.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, so we talked about some of the good, and there's more good that we can discuss within this because, look, just walk-off victory for your Astros. But four errors in this game, including, if you don't mind here, Fig, this one from Jeremy Pena.
Ground ball towards short. Pena will charge, bobble, and sit on. Rafaela's going to reach. That's the second error on the Astros' left side of the infield tonight. As Jeremy knew he had to hustle and be quick with Rafaela running, but didn't handle the transfer at all.
Ball jumped on him a little bit on that last hop.
You know, the thing about that is this is not something that they make a habit of.
Yeah.
It's something that clearly is going to cost you. But again, they kind of had that killer mentality where they somehow figured out a way to overcome. That was a game by all rights that they shouldn't have won.
That's absolutely four errors.
They shouldn't have won that game.
And all of them, oddly enough, kind of in the infield, right? Whitcomb, who was playing third, he had one. Jeremy Pena, you just heard him. Yeah. Caratini as a catcher had one. And then Altuve basically mailed one over Yainer at first. Like, it was just... errors galore is how I wrote it down as, and I found that to be really disheartening, but ultimately then it set up like the kind of the arc of the game where you had these troughs defensively.
Yes.
You had some difficulties, but as you mentioned, the mentality of this team, the resilience of this team, the killer nature of this team showed up. And I think these are the types of things that you can kind of hang your hat on in some ways, knowing that you're going to have battles if you want to get to where ultimately the expectation is and where the hope is, which is American League championships.
Matt, well, you know, we're starting to think that way a little bit, and that in itself.
No, I just said that's the expectation. That's what it is.
Works. Yeah. That's what it is now, and that's what it's been. It's just a surprise that it's happening this season with everything that's going on. There, are, you know, you don't ignore those things, the errors, obviously, but you're glad that you overcome them. The other thing that I thought was really cool in this game, it doesn't necessarily change my opinion about him. But it was cool that Chaz McCormick came through, a guy that's just been embattled. He said after the game, I don't remember the last time I smiled and all that. So, the fact that Chaz McCormick came through in the game-tying inning there in the eighth, was absolutely fantastic. I don't think it changes my opinion on him, but when you win these types of games and you have that killer mentality, sometimes you get that.
And look, you could tell that his team was really happy about it.
Oh, God, yes.
Joe Espada was asked about that moment in the dugout after the Chaz McCormick hit.
Yeah, you know, we cheer for Mac. We all love Mac, and he's trying to figure some things out, and we were all really happy for him. You know, as a team, we all, you know, want our guys to succeed, and he's been one of those guys that been scuffling a little bit, so we were happy that he was able to contribute and help us win the game.
He's been scuffling a lot of bit.
Yeah, that's I wanted to get to that because you made mention of that, and I don't want to skip right past that. You said that this doesn't do anything to change how you feel about him. Why is that?
Because I don't think he's a long-term solution, a long-term answer. They've loved him for years. Dusty loved him. Well, Dusty had an up-and-down relationship with him, but ended up playing him some. I don't think Chaz McCormick is going to be a big part of any playoff stretch that you're going to have. I mean, they've been trying to bring guys in. Then of course you have Kyle Tucker who's going to come in, and that's going to change kind of the makeup of what the outfield's going to look like. So you're happy for him. You just heard, you know, Joe Espada talk about, you know, we're happy for Mac, you know, and he's smiling and all that stuff. I don't know if that's the answer moving forward, but you take it right now.
Yeah. I mean, handled pretty well. Like I mentioned, you say Kikuchi goes 5 2/3, another solid one for him. I think he's in the 2-3 mm-hmm. range when it comes to his ERA since he's been with your Astros. Like, this is looking pretty good, and man, I'm super excited about it. And then more excitement is arriving for the Astros as Verlander. Yeah. We mentioned that over the weekend that he had thrown mm-hmm. a bullpen, and we just wanted to make sure that, you know, because when you do that, it really is, how do you feel afterwards?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yesterday we found out that he feels good enough that he will indeed start Wednesday, and that's going to be great for starting a 6-man rotation, get some of these arms
a little bit
of extra rest.
Yep.
But then also ramp him up because he's going to be super necessary for a postseason.
But you hit the nail on the head there. Sorry for the cliche.
No,
but
you're good.
Because you're in a stretch right now where you don't have any days off. You know, you're not getting
18 games in 18 days.
18 games, 18 days. You couldn't have timed it better for Verlander to come in. And, you know, as far as Kikuchi is concerned, you know, Figgy and I talked about this last week. Our expectations not only were not high, they were low for Kikuchi. And he just continues to do what he needs to do. I think it speaks to the pitching coaches on this team.
I mean,
come on.
They shifted his repertoire a little bit. Not necessarily the actual pitches, but the usage rate on
the sequence and how he uses certain pitches.
And he's getting results.
Yes.
It's been effective for him. And I know that the questions when you traded for Yusei Kikuchi was not necessarily his play, but more mm-hmm. of getting a rental for the price that you paid. But ultimately, when it comes to like the actual performance with him in the orange and blue, I guess, he's been good. And I've been super excited about that. So,
and what you get from these guys, it's truly like a hat tip to the pitching coaches because Ronald Blanco wasn't even going to be in this rotation to start the year. We know the story there. They've helped him kind of same thing. What pitches you're throwing and where you're throwing them. Certainly Hunter Brown started the year awful, like giving up big time early inning runs. They adjusted him, started throwing that cutter a little lower, and he started to excel. Fromber has had his bad moments. He's a veteran and he can fix these things, but he got help. And then Kikuchi and others, but Kikuchi as well, you know, you bring him in and you're like, oh boy. And then they start giving him some pitches to throw earlier in the sequence to get ahead and then start, you know, dialing it up. It's amazing what they've been doing with this pitching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think it's 11 of 12 now.
Yeah.
11 wins in 12 games. And you'll have an opportunity to see them try and extend that to 12 of 13 tonight. 7:10 first pitch. Ronel Blanco takes the mound for your Astros as they try to extend that situation there. You mentioned that we're going to be out and about mm-hmm. amongst the people tomorrow with the opportunity to maybe to watch Verlander play.
Come on out.
Come on out. It'll be out Katy Freeway right over by Kirkwood right there.
Yeah.
I'll get an address for you during the course of the program, but excited to get some in the loop out on the road with John, Figgy, and Reggie. Thanks for hanging out with us.
And come say hello to Reggie.
Yeah, come say what's up to me, man.
Yeah.
I love meeting the people. Mm-hmm. I do it for the people, man. We're just getting started here in the loop on a Tuesday. Coming up next, power rankings constantly go, but in the course of one of the power rankings, who is on the hot seat for the Texans? Because one of the answers that we saw from ESPN was kind of surprising. We'll talk about that next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time. Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reginald Adatula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Damn Skippy, we're in the loop.
Yeah.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I am Reginald Adatula. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Tuesday here on Sports Radio 610. Get involved with the program always, always, always. Text in on the text line, 713-572-4610. You can also catch us on YouTube, Sports Radio 610. And Twitch, I realized yesterday I said that it's Sports Radio 610. It's not. It's 610 Houston.
Oh, the Twitch.
Yeah, the Twitch. Yeah. Twitch.tv/610Houston. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I got all of them up on my screen. John can confirm.
Look at you.
Because I love talking
to
people.
He's got more screens working than NASA.
I really
Sean Pendergast.
I am about screens. Me and screens.
Holy moly. I'm more of a tabs guy. You a tabs guy or a screens guy?
Tabs.
713-572-4610.
I am a tabs and a screen guy.
Okay, well, you got a problem. Sicko.
Currently, yeah, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 12, 13 tabs open.
I got 9.
John, if you want to look at this.
Holy moly. He's got 2 computers and 75. How many tabs do you have open?
Many, many tabs, because I got to have the information for the people. Golly. Here in the loop. We're going to have a fun show for you. We got you till 2 as always. But let's start here because, the question is, who would you say is on the hot seat for the Texans this season? Again, 713-572-4610. Because I was looking through power rankings, which I frequently actually don't do.
Yeah, because they're kind of a trite topic at kind this of time thing. Of year. Yeah.
But I was like, I'm just interested in seeing what various places are looking
they
at.
They suck you in, man.
They do
suck you in.
But I went and I was looking at ESPN's iteration of the power rankings. And I looked at them and I saw that they also have, in order, because look, power rankings get boring weeks over week or month over month. They actually asked the various beat writers for ESPN for the various teams who for their team was on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And obviously DJ Bieniemy, very good at covering this Texans team for ESPN, was the man tabbed to answer that question. And the answer that he gave, welcome. The answer that he gave kind of shocked me.
Me too.
He ultimately said that the man on the hot seat for your Houston Texans is Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. So here's where it gets interesting for me. I love the, I shouldn't say love, but I do read the ones, the power rankings and the lists and all that stuff of the beat writers. Because automatically you think, okay, they're there every day. You know, they're going to have a real sort of finger on the pulse of what's really happening there. And it's not a shot at DJ Bieniemy, because some of the other ones that put together these lists, it's more for shock value or clicks or however people like to put it, like somebody wild out there.
Sure. Do you want me to give you his reasoning on this?
Yes, absolutely.
And I realize I didn't give you, I'm talking about power rankings, I didn't give you where they slotted the Texans. Sixth.
Okay.
So there you go. I mean, I hope that you enjoy that. That's the same place that they were post-draft.
Okay.
So not very much movement there. But DJ Bieniemy wrote this. Diggs is on a one-year deal, and if the offense is booming with him, he could be re-signed and cash in. Mm-hmm. If not, the two sides could part ways. But throughout camp, the Texans coaching staff players have raved about him. Coach D'Amico Ryans praised Diggs' leadership and competitiveness, saying he has brought the best out of his teammates, CJ Stroud and Diggs. Is somebody who loves the game and doesn't cheat it. So the idea just being that, hey, man, it's a contract year for him.
Yeah, and to me, that doesn't define hot seat. So maybe he just defines it worse, different than I do.
Wow, you heard worse slide? Hey, DJ, I still love you if nobody else loves you, my boy.
Did I say worse?
Yeah.
So maybe he defines it worse/differently than I do.
Okay.
Because hot seat to me is like, dude,
it's a problem.
Yeah. If it doesn't work out, you might be gone. Yeah.
But even if he do have let's say he do ball out this season,
that's a good thing.
I think he can still cash in somewhere else. Yes. I don't think it's a guarantee that Houston Texans give him that bag.
Yeah,
he might go somewhere else to get that.
So you're defining it kind of like me, like hot seat. It doesn't like Stephon Diggs. There is no real downside, you know.
Well, I guess the idea would be if he has a bad season. But I'm like, what?
Cool.
Bad season, I mean, maybe one of two ways, right?
Yeah,
if he's not productive, How do you think that it looks for Stephon Diggs in the open market?
Well, it doesn't look great, but he will have a job.
But yeah, he's 30 years old. He's not entirely falling off the cliff. I think he will find a place to be. I think the only way that it could be real hot seat for him is if it's a personality issue or even the narrative of a personality.
That's what I was going to say. If it's a personality thing, if the team is not doing what we thought it would do, then I think that's something where you
Now, had he said that, I'd be like, okay, I can hear that. Because then all of a sudden, maybe the team implodes. Maybe the offense isn't what it was supposed to be. Maybe there's issues between C.J. Stroud and Stephon Diggs. Maybe after three teams, Minnesota and Buffalo and now Houston, Diggs is toxic, you know? That would be, if he said that, then I'd be like, all right, I can hear that.
Yeah.
But that explanation that he gave to me is like, there's no real downside. He's going to make money. If he stays here and balls out, he's going to play here and Texans may win a Super Bowl. That's not the guy that I would think of when I think hot seat.
Okay. So if it's not Stephon Diggs being on the hot seat for your Texans this year, who is it? And on the text line, the 936 said, I think Damian Pierce is on the hot seat. And I feel like that one's just so obvious that I thought that was a given.
We almost put that in a different category.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
This is for the season. And I mean, we're starting to have conversations on if he'll be here.
Is he going to make it?
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's an easy answer, but I think there's another answer that might fall in the same category. For me, it's Tytus Howard.
Mm.
Because the hot seat is, you got to stay healthy or else you could be gone. The hot seat is, you got to produce. Or you could see Blake Fisher. Like, Blake Fisher's, the reps he's getting right now are invaluable. Like, he's getting left tackle reps. He's getting right tackle reps. He's doing his job. He's getting compliments from the head coach. He's getting compliments from the offensive coordinator. C.J. Stroud has stayed upright in the time that he's been on the field. So, like, to me, hot seat is, if you don't produce or you get hurt, we may never hear from you again as a starter. You know, that's why I say Tytus Howard.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely fair, especially because, as you mentioned, like, replacement is in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Replacement is not necessarily needing to be forecasted. Replacement can happen now if you really, really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, there's absolutely that hot seat. As soon as somebody has somebody that's capable of you doing your job right behind you, that is almost the definition of hot seat. Right?
Absolutely.
We end up looking at Wally Pitt type situations in that space. So, I think that absolutely fits. And then you also, like, you can supplement that perspective from the salary cap ramifications. Because sometimes, you know, you can be gone not just because of your play, but also, is it worth it to the organization for you to be here? And when you look at the dudes that are being paid on the offensive line, clearly Laremy Tunsil is the big money man.
Yeah.
But second most is Tytus Howard, and that money kicks in next season, right? Yeah. And so if they look around and they go, that money ends up being an issue. Now, I do need to look at what the dead cap would be and those types of things, the guarantees, how that would affect.
The guarantees are not that big a deal. He's going to get that anyway, but the dead cap, yeah.
Sure, but I mean, the big money there is coming around, so I do wonder if that makes it the hot seat there. Some other names that we could probably consider as, I was about to talk about another one that came to mind for me, but I looked at the text line, and I do need to remind you guys, B. Scott going to be in the studio at 11, the whole 11 o'clock hour, in fact.
Yeah.
And he's already weighing in, as he always listens. Appreciate you, my man. 832, he says, guys, it's Kenyon Green.
Now, he's on the list. I'm not saying Brandon's wrong there, but it's almost as if, like, if your expectation level of Kenyon Green has changed so much that it's almost, even though he's a first-round pick and it would look bad for Nick Caserio, it's almost like it's all gravy now. For Kenyon Green, you know, it's like, hey, we had Kendrick Green last year when the Texans needed him, and he did a fair enough job. Kenyon Green still on a rookie contract. You know, you didn't really think, you know, you had high expectations, then you had no expectations. And by the way, just as a side note, for the second week in a row, D'Amico Ryans went out of his way to compliment Kenyon Green.
Yes.
So Kenyon Green is almost like gone from, oh, this guy's not good, to he might be pretty good, and we might not even have to worry about him. But I see his point, though. Yeah, obviously. He's going to be gone if it doesn't work out, but it's looking like it's working out.
Now, one of the names that came to mind for me when I think about this Texans team and, like, all right, where are kind of the weak spots and who needs to step up? Linebacker, obviously, you know what the very top of it is. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Azeez Al-Shaair and then also Christian Harris.
Yeah.
But then Henry To'oto'o is one of those guys that's kind of lumped in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that we're sold on him overall and what he's capable of doing. And he's been open and honest about that, about his needs to progress. It feels like that is hot seat territory as well.
It is. And Henry To'oto'o, I think I might have mentioned this with you last week, Figgy. He's kind of like the defensive version of John Mechie. Like, everyone's pulling for him.
Sure.
Everyone says good things about him. And yet, have you seen it? You know, have you seen it on the field? Now, we did see it from Mechie this week. So maybe To'oto'o is going to really start to show stuff there. But I think To'oto'o is a good candidate for, like, actual hot seat. But you had another one that I thought is certainly in that Titus Howard category.
Yeah, and this is going to be another spot where you look at, hey, the idea of depth and those types of things. Cornerback, or, well, not cornerback, but defensive back.
Nickelback.
Yeah. Nickelback, Jalen Petrie.
Yeah, that, to me, that's hot seat. Because he played safety pretty well as a rookie. Couldn't really, you know, had some criticism with his tackling. Ended up last year getting benched in a game as safety. Switches to nickel. They're saying a lot of good things. Now, he got the pick. The pick six.
And you can't take that away from
him. You can't take that away from him, and you can't deny that Daniel Jones gave it to him. But either way.
He was gifted that.
You can't take it away from him, and he was given it. But either way, like, if it doesn't work and it fails, that's it. That's the definition of hot seat.
Dude, this seems like it's kind of similar to what Kenyon Green is going through right now, where people are saying he's having a good camp so far, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like, he still could be on the hot seat where he could be replaced if he don't do good.
I think Kenyon Green, and disagree if you're so inclined, I think Kenyon Green has actually had no bad moments so far, whether in camp or in the preseason games. He's getting legitimate, like when the coaches compliment Kenyon Green, as D'Amico Ryans has a couple of times, you know he's played well. Now, until this past game, when they were complimenting Jalen Petrie, I was like, really? I haven't seen it, you know? But so I think they're kind of in the same category.
Oh, sorry. I saw a text come in and I got distracted. But yeah, no, I think that those are all probably the ones that I would look at more than Stephon Diggs. If you had to go with, all right, now let's come up with the definitive in the loop answer, especially considering Stephon Diggs was what he came up with. So it's not just preseason, but like the full season.
Yeah.
Titus Howard is the one that you're still looking at.
I think Titus Howard's on the hot seat. Like, there's a guy there that's playing his ass off.
Yeah.
Like, ready, you know, and they like, and frankly, like, the injury aspect normally shouldn't be, you mentioned Wally Pipp, you know, it shouldn't be a Wally Pipp situation. You know, when you're starter, you never lose your job to injury. But I think that's antiquated. I think if Titus Howard is injured for, you know, another year here and Blake Fisher steps in, we may not see Titus Howard again.
It's Texas
in the starting lineup.
It's a Texans ticket Tuesday.
It is a Texans ticket.
I wanted
ticket
to make
Tuesday.
Sure that I let you know that. In the noon o'clock hour, some tickets will be given away here on Sports Radio 610. They're bullpen seats?
Yeah, front row.
So, yeah,
bullpen
you want to make sure that you're listening all the way through the noon o'clock hour, because we will be giving those away on a Texans ticket Tuesday. Appreciate you hanging out with us here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time for the question of the day. In honor of the Texans unveiling some new eats at the stadium, what's
that?
The best food that you've had at a sporting event? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
What's the best food you've had at a sporting event? 713-572-4610. You're in the loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, mm-hmm. Reginald Adetula. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as I was trying to make sure that I had all the names of the menu items on my computer with all the tabs that I have,
mm-hmm.
I opened up yet another one because I saw that it could, like, the heat index in the area over the next couple of days be like 115.
115.
I just heard it in the traffic. I'm like, God, dog it.
By the way, truck AC fixed.
Hey.
Nice.
Truck AC fixed. Look, man, I did something today that I haven't ever done. Figgy, tell the people where I park, like, for the last however 15 years.
On the roof,
on that far wall. I parked underneath the cover.
Oh, look at you, sucker. Come on, park
on
the roof.
I'm like, I ain't trying to be
park on the roof like a man.
Dude, I got in the, not yesterday because I had to pick up my truck, but I got in the truck Friday, and, you know, it says outside temperature mm-hmm. and all that stuff. 119. and that truck was bacon, baby. That's crazy.
I'm done with parking on the roof.
I'm done with parking on the roof. I need some shade on that truck.
Yeah, but inside. Inside is where it needs to be. That's why we invented inside. Inside NRG, even with the panels, still pretty cool, right?
It was
still
great. All right. Yeah, shout out to them. They did a good job.
Excellent.
And so, they did their food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it out there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of media folks ended up out there yesterday trying out various selections of the new items that'll be available at NRG Stadium this season. A lot of different things, a lot of Asian-inspired
ones
coming in as well. But the big ticket is Truth Barbecue.
I'm a big fan of Truth Barbecue.
I still got to try, though.
I had Leonard Botello, who started Truth Barbecue, I believe. I forget exactly where. I don't know. But anyway, and he brought it to Houston. I had him on the Bite Meat podcast, my barbecue podcast. That dude is amazing. I was so happy that they're going to have Truth Barbecue at NRG. It is a must. It is that good.
Okay, so there's that when it comes to general concession items.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken wonton nachos, so fried wonton topped with queso, teriyaki beef or chicken, coleslaw, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Asian-inspired beef teriyaki tacos.
Okay.
Self-explanatory there. Loaded general stack fries.
General
So's chicken with waffle fries, queso, specialty sauce.
That sounds like a bit much, but might be your thing.
Yeah, like if you want a dessert, apparently there's a strawberry cheesecake dessert pretzel.
Now we're talking.
So okay. a lot of interesting things.
Yeah, now we're talking.
But, I mean, and there's so many more. So that's just like the general concessions. Loaded popcorn, where they put like candies and stuff on it.
Mm.
But then there's sweet concessions, the club level concessions, where apparently they've got a Wagyu chopped cheese. Which I feel like those. Like,
I'm listening.
We're doing an interesting mix of worlds.
Yeah.
I feel like it's supposed to be very, very of the people.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to bourgeoisie, where you put that Wagyu beef in there. But hey, man, I imagine if it tastes good, it tastes good. But that got me thinking, like, what for anybody out there has the best food that you've had at a stadium, at a sporting event? And people are already texting.
I have a hot take on this.
Okay. I'm ready to hear it.
I have a hot take on this, Figgy, and I'm interested in you and Reginald's opinion. I don't think you ever really get all due respect to what the Texans are doing.
Sound like they changing the game right now, man.
And I'm sure I will order it. And
the
lemon pepper toss tenders. I'm sure I will order it. I'm sure I will enjoy it. But this is my hot take, and I want you to think about this now. Like, go back. If I asked you what's the best food you've ever had, like not the game, not anything else. What's the best food you've ever had at a sporting event? I bet you can't even think of one.
I mean, my best guess would be some birria quesadillas, but that was because it was also relatively recently.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something you just remember.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking when you asked that question, I'm like, dang, I don't think I had nothing too special outside of like a brisket loaded potato or something like that. I think that's good, but not nothing special.
To me, my and I hate the term, but it is a hot take. I don't think you ever remember great food at a game. You remember either the game or the people you were with or the moment. Like I can distinctly remember, like, in the sixth or seventh inning of the World Series when the Astros won the World Series here, and my wife and I, and I'm all of a sudden I was drinking some beer and all that, and I said, I'm getting kind of hungry. And I went to the concession in like the sixth or seventh inning, and I got a loaded barbecue baked potato, and I remember eating that. But it wasn't because the barbecue potato was so good out of this world. It was because I was at the World Series and Yordan was about to hit a monster home run, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think the perfect example is, like, my wife, she's not really into sports like that, but she liked going to the events.
Yeah.
And I never really heard her say, oh, I got to go to the game so I could get this food or whatever. Yeah. It is one thing I will say that's really good, and maybe this is at NRG. And this is, I guess, more if you were in the suites.
Okay.
But they have like a Chipotle potato salad, something like that.
Oh, that one? That's good. That's good.
That one is good. Yeah. Like that one, I'm like, man, I hope they got it up in the suite. But that's not like at a concession stand.
Like, what about you? Like, you remember, you said you just, the one.
Yeah, the birria quesadilla.
But you can't think of like, oh, the food in this stadium, this dish is so awesome. It's not the dish.
I'm also very reluctant to go and find like the special foods because let's be honest, right? navigating concession stands, not the easiest thing in the world, yeah, right? And yeah, usually the special foods are not going to be as available as, let me get a hot dog right quick.
And it's hard to eat while you're sitting there in the chair.
In the stadium.
Now, that said, the other one that comes to mind, and I think I talked about this with you, Figgy, after I went to the national championship game here last year, Michigan and Washington, and I remember walking on the concourse and these lines at the concessions were so long. And you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And I walked by Trill Burgers, and there was no line. Because they were all from out of town.
Yeah, they didn't know.
Wow. They didn't know. Like, you go to a Texans game, and you go to the line at Trill Burgers. So I said, I'm going to get me a Trill Burger, man, because there ain't no line. And that I remember. But it wasn't like because, oh, that's the best burger I've ever had. I mean, they're great burgers. But, you know what I'm saying? It's not the food that you remember. It's the event.
Well, we got some people on the text line that do remember some food. Let's see, from the 832, they said best food they had was smoked brisket.
Okay.
And they said, speaking of brisket, make sure to ask Lopez for his OG sauce. It's good. I don't have to ask him for it. He's already offered.
Yep. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to get settled in.
There's a lot of brisket that pops up here. 281, brisket nachos at Minute Maid. Okay. And then 832 said nachos in the baseball helmet. Sometimes I do wonder, like,
they put nachos in a baseball helmet? I thought they put ice cream in a baseball helmet.
So I'm wherever that has. Okay. Maybe that was cool. But is it sometimes just like the presentation that'll do it for you as well?
Yeah. Like baseball ice cream. Baseball helmet ice cream.
It does taste better when it's in the helmet, doesn't it?
It just tastes better. But there are some, those potatoes, Figgy, they are legit. But I wouldn't, like, if I went to a restaurant, I wouldn't say, oh, those are the best potatoes I ever had.
To me, that's like the top-notch food you could get at a game.
Yeah.
And you got to be prepared for that because, you eating the food on your lap.
Yeah.
So it can kind of get messy.
I'm with you, though. Like, hot dogs, hamburgers, nachos, pretzel, and popcorn. And peanuts. That's it. You can't go wrong with any of those because it's easy to eat.
I kind of get spoiled though. Going to an Astros game, they had pluckers there.
Yeah.
So I like to get me a nice little 10 piece.
Yeah.
And just sit there, eat some wings. But that's just me.
I feel like being at the home stadium, the home arena, and those types of things, maybe it doesn't feel the same. I wonder if it's different if you travel, like when you go to another place and it's part of that memory of being outside of your normal environment, because 281 mentioned clam chowder at Alumni Stadium at Boston College.
Never had it.
That might be,
but I'll take
different.
Your word for it.
Right. And so, like, that's a local dish.
Yeah,
it's in that place. Like, maybe that has that feel. And then someone else mentioned mac and cheese at Green Bay, and I imagine
mac and cheese.
They take their cheese very seriously up in Wisconsin. So maybe you end up in a place where something that's very
they sell curds.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had the curds in Green Bay. That's good. I'm telling you.
That felt like a threat. Wait, what happened?
The curds are good there. Garlic fries in San Francisco. They're known for them. They're awesome. They're awesome.
You mentioned, you were talking about kind of just the generic concessions, hot dog, hamburger, nachos, those types of things. You almost said popcorn, but you went away from it. Are you not a popcorn guy?
That's a movie thing for me.
Okay.
Yeah. At games, it's hot dog, hamburger, nachos, pretzel, and peanuts.
See, at games, like at NRG, sometimes they give us a little popcorn. I would eat it there, but I'm not buying no popcorn.
Popcorn's a movie thing for me. That might not. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying that's just what it is for me.
No, I asked because I was wondering if I had a compatriot in this way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like popcorn. I think popcorn is a useless food.
I like popcorn. Yeah, I love popcorn.
It's just like empty calories, and at that point, we're just doing the
empty
action
calories
eating.
Are good if you just want to get rid of the bite on your hunger.
It feels like a thing to do more than like a thing to consume. I'm good on popcorn.
He's good on popcorn.
Get stuck in your teeth and everything. I'm good on it.
I made popcorn yesterday when I got home from work. I make homemade popcorn, microwave all the time. Not homemade. It's not like I'm harvesting.
Yeah,
the
I was
kernel.
Like,
I'm not harvesting.
I'm about to say
corn.
You break out the pan.
I was like, that's what I thought too.
We used to do that when we were kids. When you're poor,
my parents used to do that.
Put the oil in the pan. And then put the kernels in there. Let it pop up. We did that all the time. Then we went to the drive-in.
Now we got some interesting things. Sally Sheehan on the YouTube says beer brats. Wrigley has the best Chicago dogs.
Those are great. Okay. Milwaukee has great brats.
Yeah, a good brat at a game will do something.
Milwaukee, that's a great one, Brittany.
And then there's a few folks that have brought up. What kind of English is that?
That's right.
Mexico City, Guadalajara, mm-hmm. just like different places there, or different, yeah, different venues there that have like great food. And I'm like, I don't doubt it.
No.
I don't doubt that at all.
No.
So there you go. I mean, celebration or congratulations to NRG Stadium. That's going to have a lot of really interesting new concessions. And yeah, I'm super excited to maybe get my hands on a few of these for sure, especially like the Asian inspired ones. Cause
yeah, I'll try. I'm not saying they're bad.
This is a food city.
They're not memorable.
Yeah, this is a food city.
Great food city.
And so it feels like you got to have good food here.
Great. We'll get to that one day this week.
Okay.
We'll hook you up.
Excellent. Yeah. No, I'm going to need some recommendations for sure. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get B Scott in studio and we'll go around the NFL, do the next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!